please. Thank you so much. What a blessing. And I appreciate that. That's a great song. Are we good? Okay. Take your Bibles this morning, the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. The book of Joshua, chapter number 1. And it's been good to be in God's house this morning. Amen. And I appreciate that, Dr. Cox. That was exactly what I needed. And I'll tell you, I agree with what Dr. Bell said, that a lot of times you'll hear things and see things and think, man, oh yeah. I mean, I'm picturing myself, where am I at? How can I step up? I want to be like Paul, and I want to hear well done. And Brother Tony says, you'll not hear well done if you've not done well. And we've got to be faithful if we want to hear well done, thou good and faithful. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I know with this type of a church, some of y'all probably took a vacation day or took some time off. Thank you for doing that. Many folks get off work just time to get to the services at night. And boy, it's a lot of work and time and effort goes into it. And I appreciate you backing your pastor. And it means a lot to a preacher. It takes a lot of work. And anyone that's put anything together, whether it's what we call a simple teen activity or a main conference like this, it takes a lot of work, a lot of planning, a lot of prayer. And boy, it does well to the preacher's heart to see that folks are behind what's happening. And I appreciate you doing that. And for you pastors, thank you for taking your time to be here. I don't take it lightly. And I hope I don't hurt your people in any way. I never want to abuse the opportunity to preach. I just want to preach what God says. And Brother Daniel, so good to see you. And you preachers, I'd encourage you to get a chance to meet Brother Daniel Waters. He's a good friend of mine, great man of God, good Bible preacher, probably one of the best singers I've ever heard, and you'll enjoy him if you have him in your church. He won't hurt you. He'll help you. Joshua chapter number 1, if you would, please. And aren't you glad to be saved? Amen. I'll tell you, it's tough because when you hear preaching, your mind goes 100 different directions. Yeah. And I, on purpose, I when I travel, I take every message I have. Brother Smith, I mean, I've got everything I've ever written. And like the first 90% of it's horrible. Brother Man, you know what I'm talking about? You ever looked at a message and thought, I can't believe I put that on paper. And everything I own is in that office across the hallway. Amen. Either on my phone or my iPad or handwritten. I'm thinking, dear Lord, there's got to be something in this book. And I've read it all and ain't nothing. So we're going to go eat lunch. All right. But man, then after you hear a message from such a great man of God like them, they, oh man, I wish I would have found that. But anyway, man, FBI couldn't find. I've got a lot of statements while I'm here this week. Amen. Last night, every time I go to a service somewhere, I go to preach somewhere, I always bring two pieces of legal pad of paper. I just put my Bible, and then I fill them up by the end because I'm getting ideas, I'm seeing things, and I'm just basically, I go around the country stealing things from churches, and then I take it back to my place. And so if you have chandeliers missing or whatever, I stole it, okay? And I have no idea how to build church, but I do know how to copy and paste, okay? And so that's what I'm doing. And so, man, I wrote down all kinds of things last night and today already, and I've gotten some good ideas. Church is going to hate me. Every time I come back, I hand it to my wife, type it up, and pass it around. I got names next to everything. And so, but some of the words, I don't know how to spell Waller, but he said last night when the honey buckets dumped over, Waller around in it a little bit. And I thought, I like that. So I'm writing down a Waller. What's Waller? But anyway, I live in North Carolina. I know what it means. I just don't know how to spell it. All right. But Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read two verses. I'm going to preach a little bit and then we're going to go to the house. Well, somebody's house. I don't live here, but we'll go to somebody's house. In Columbus, I'm sure you can just walk right in. All right. Amen. They do it every day. And Joshua 1 verse 10. Can we stand together, please, if you're able to, for the reading of the Word of God? And I appreciate what Preacher Cox said. You don't have to stand to read the Bible. If so, I couldn't listen to it in CD riding down the road. And that'd make it kind of difficult. But you can stand and reverence it. I like to do that. Joshua 1:10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Father, would you help me now in these next few moments? I want to preach exactly what you'd have me to preach, and I have peace about this. I believe this is what you want me to give this morning. Lord, I thank you. You even helped me a little bit with that offertory. I'm bound for the promised land. I appreciate you kind of helping me to, I believe this is right. I'm not a good preacher. Don't claim to be. Lord, I know I need your help. So, Holy Spirit of God, would you empty me of sin and self. Would you clear my mind? Help me to preach the Word of God. Thank you for what our ears already heard. Oh, boy, what some great truths from the Scripture. Would you help us to take inventory in our lives, find out what we need to add or delete. Father, bless my family back of the house. Keep them safe. Be with my daddy. Raise him up quickly. And I love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd ask you to pray for my dad. He's got a herniated disc and he's in a lot of pain. He was preaching in our area a couple weeks ago and they had taken him to the hospital. His oxygen level had dropped and he's doing fine now. They doped him up and put him on the plane. Amen. And I don't think they gave him any medicinal purposes, but oregano. But he is at the house, and he's a man. He's a gray, so he's got two whammies against him already. He's very stubborn and trying to get him to get some surgery and get some help. But pray for him if you would. He's a go-getter. He's a worker, and he's my hero. I love him very much. Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. You'll find, of course, we know the story of Joshua, we know the story of Moses, and won't get into all of that. I cannot imagine following Moses, okay? It's tough to preach right now, be honest with you. They were in the back room, and before we came out, Dr. Bell said, all right, you'll preach first. I'm good to go. I'm not a good preacher, don't claim to be, but I'd rather get out of the way. And Preacher Cox, no, let me go first. Mine's going to be pastoral. Here's what blah, 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 went through the whole thing. And my heart's sinking the whole time going, that's not how it's, I'm good, you know. And I honestly, we just shut her down right now. I'm not trying to give false humility. I'm being honest. How would you like to follow Moses? The man parts Red Seas. Hey, Josh, you're next. Josh has a squeegee. I don't part Red Seas, I move them. We go around. We GPS it. I don't part Red Seas. Hey, Moses, where are you going today? Well, it's going to be about 40 days. I got a long meeting. With who? God. Whoa. Like you're going to talk with God. Yeah, 40 days. See ya. I'll be back. You're kidding. Who does that? Goes to the mountain, spends 40 days with God. Comes down and he's so close to God, you can't even look at him. Right. They're like, could you put a veil? What happened? He's like, what? I don't get. See, when you spend time with God, you won't promote yourself. You won't really tell. Everybody else will know.
Right. That's right.
You don't have to wear all your pins. I've never missed Sunday school. I walk with God. I pray. I pass out 1,000 tracts. We're so busy promoting ourselves, we probably don't have rewards when we get to heaven. Judgment seat will probably be short ever since Facebook got invented.
Yeah.
Everybody okay? And I'm preaching to me right now. I tell my folks, my people get on to me. Preacher, we didn't know you was out of town. We want to know so we can pray. One of the most godly men in our church, Brother John King, boy, he's been serving God now for about 50 years, called me last night, and he has been sick, and I'd gone to visit him. Well, I didn't tell him I was going out of town. He found out, and he said, now, he's country with a K. He said, now, preacher, I hear you're going to Ohio. I said, yes, sir, I'm going to Ohio. He said, now, be careful. There's Yankees over there. Exactly, was it? And I said, well, they're not all Yankees, Brother John, and the ones that are, they're good ones. And he said, well, I'll be praying for you. What time do you preach? And I told him, he said, I'll be praying God meets. I'll be praying folks get saved. We're going to be praying that God just shows up and that you get home. I said, yes, sir, I'll get home. So, Brother Dean, I basically, because they get on to me. Where are you going? We didn't know you was there. We want to know what's happening. But I'll be honest, I wonder if God doesn't say, you know, oh, look how good we were, post. God says, oh, okay, so you got your reward. Cancel that one. Put that crown back there. He already got his. Yay, aren't you good? Yep, look at it. He already tweeted that. Forget it. Throw that crown back. Judgment seat might be short. God may show us all of our post. Remember your post? Ooh, it's bad. I'm guilty. I'll post as soon as we leave this afternoon, so tune in. But how'd you like to follow Moses? Ten Commandment Moses. Charleston Heston, the Moses. I mean, he's the real deal. And now Moses, my servant, is dead. That was the entire funeral service. God said, okay, now therefore arise. You see, with God, he knows what life is all about. Moses standing right here next to me, guys. Yeah, I know you think you lost him on earth, but heaven's real. Here he is. Joshua, get to work. Joshua, I only have two messages, and they're really not good. I've got 11 commandments I can throw out there. God, what do you think? No, Joshua, just follow me. And all through the chapter, he reminds him, be very courageous. Now,
When God says to do something, that helps. When God says be courageous, that's good. But when God says, hey, let me remind you, be very courageous. Why is, are you getting nervous? Are you having second thoughts about picking me? Josh, I think you can do it. Oh, great. Now God thinks I can do it. And God reminds him through the whole chapter, be very courageous, be very courageous, be very courageous. You keep your eyes on me, you'll be okay. So Joshua gets to a point now where he's supposed to take the people from the wilderness and move them into the promised land. Today I'm preaching on this subject, it's moving day. It's moving day. By way of introduction, let me say this. I'm glad they were brought out of Egypt. That's salvation. Do you remember the day you got saved?
Amen.
Man, do you remember the day you trusted Christ?
Amen.
Do you remember the day it dawned on you? You didn't have to know all the things of Scripture, but all I knew was I was going to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I heard that there was someone named Jesus Christ who died, was buried, and rose again. And I heard that if I'll trust Him, I heard He'll come into my heart. And I heard that He'll save me. And I heard that He'll take me to heaven for all eternity to live with Him. I said, you know, that's better than hell. I'll take him. Didn't know everything about it. Still don't. Trying to learn it. Trying to study it. Trying to know what justification is and sanctification is and propitiation is and redemption is. Trying to learn it all. Trying to figure it out. But man, I'm glad about the day I got saved. I'm sorry. Y'all don't get mad at me. Pray for me. But I don't understand Christians that are always gloom and doom and down the dumps. I understand. Please don't misunderstand. As you go through life, you'll hit some speed bumps. You'll hit some pretty big divots in the road. And as preacher mentioned, my heart goes to this dear family that said goodbye to a loved one. I'm not belittling that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you go through your entire life to, oh, it's over. Oh, here we go again. I mean, I look at all these boys, all y'all go to Anchor. Man, I'm looking at all these guys on the front row thinking, man, I like this.
Hey,
boys, let me, y'all look at me real well and let me tell you something. I don't know a lot, okay? I couldn't fix a car if you paid me $1 million. I don't know how to build a building. I can tear down a wall. You pick which wall you want down, I can help you do that. I can sledgehammer with the best of them, and I'll outwork you. I don't know how to do a lot, but I do know how to do this. I know how to trust that book right there.
Amen.
I do know how to do this. I know how to listen. Even when I didn't like it, even when I didn't understand it, just trust and obey. I'll be honest, I don't like that song. And I said, if God ever made me pastor, we'll never sing that song in my church. Because I had a teacher that made us sing it every day. Trust and obey. I hope it's not on the order of service tonight, but it's a good song, and it's got good words, and the Lord's been working on me. My daddy rewrote it. He said the song was shut up and obey, for there's no other way to live in my house than to shut up and obey. Amen. And that might be a bad word. Every time I say it, a mom will come up. Would you not say that anymore? Am I young? And amen. But can I tell you something? I know how to just get back in line.
Yeah.
And if you'll do that, guess where you'll end up?
Amen.
Promised land.
Amen.
He brought us out of Egypt. That's salvation. Man, I'm so glad I'm saved. Don't ever get over it. I mean, you guys are going to, hang on, Scott, keep focus. Here we go. You come out of Egypt, you have to go through the wilderness. I don't know why we get mad at the children of Israel for being in the wilderness.
Right.
Where did you expect them to go? You left Egypt. There's a sign on the highway that says, welcome to the wilderness. You have to get there. Everybody goes through the wilderness.
Right.
Now, as you get started, we left Egypt. We packed it all up. We borrowed everything. God said, borrow it all. These Egyptians are so dumb, they're giving everything up. I mean, these guys are walking out. Their 401k just, I mean, went up 1,000% because these Egyptians are idiots and they don't know how to run a budget and they're trillions of dollars in debt. Oh, anyway. And they don't know what they're doing, so they gathered it all and out they went, man. You have to go in the wilderness. Now, when you begin in the wilderness, that's a babe in Christ.
Right.
That's a new believer. That's a new Christian. We have to go through the wilderness. Everybody will go there. I love to see new converts. I met Ryan last night. He sat right back here, and he said, man, I just got saved, just got baptized, came last night, and I'm not making fun of him, not belittling him. I'm so proud of him. But, you know, he may look like others would say, you go here? This is your church? Oh, I can't tell you how thrilled I was for him.
Yeah.
Preacher, he walked up and said, could you, I guess, sign my Bible? I said, Ryan, I'd be honored. I said, tell me about when you got saved. Man, he's telling me about it. He was thrilled.
Yeah.
He said, it's kind of late. I better get home. My wife's going to send out a search party. But isn't it good? He's finally at church. I don't know his past life. Maybe he's hanging out in the bars. Now he's hanging out at church.
Amen.
Praise God. That's a babe in Christ. That's a new believer. Why would we get mad? Well, his hair's a little long. Okay, well, yours and your heart's probably longer. Everybody okay? Well, and, you know, and I told our church Sunday, there's going to be some water in the boat. And when that water of the world does, and by the way, our churches aren't supposed to be crystal clean. I'm not talking about physical. They ought to be nice. But spiritually, what do you think an emergency room looks like after the day's work? Somebody's got to get out some mops and somebody's got to clean it up so we can get back to work the next day. There ought to be some messed up people coming into the church. There ought to be an ER somewhere where they can know they can come in and get the help they ought to get. Amen. Quit walking around staring at people when they walk in.
Yeah, come on.
Must be a visitor. Or a backslider. Let the preacher take care of all the mess that needs to be taken care of. Amen. We're the nurses. We ought to be running towards them saying, how can I help you? What can I do for you? We spend our time getting them out of here. No, no, they're babes in Christ. They don't know. They didn't know how you're supposed to act. They didn't know how you're supposed to shout. They didn't know how you're supposed to sing. They didn't know you're supposed to say amen at the right time. All they knew was they got excited about things of God, and they fell in love with God, and they love that singing about God, and they don't want to be a Demas, and they don't want to be a John Mark, and they don't want to be a Barnabas that disappears. They want to be a Paul that stays in. They're not happy with their past. They're not happy what they've done in the background of life, but they're so thrilled that God would save them, and they're so thrilled that God would use them, and they're so thrilled that God do anything with them. Oh, somebody ought to praise God for that. But the problem is, some of y'all bought a house in the wilderness. As you go through the wilderness, that's a babe in Christ. You stay there, you become a carnal Christian. We're not supposed to stay there. We're walking around the wilderness. Well, aren't you? At least I'm saved. Isn't that the main thing? Well, for heaven, yeah. But for life, no. Now that you're saved, what are you doing with it? I found a cure for cancer. What are you doing with it? I've got salvation. What are you doing with it? Now we're supposed to head into the promised land. You know, if you've been saved any length of time, you study the scriptures, promised land is not a picture of heaven. That's a misconception because there were battles there. There'll be no battles in heaven. Oh, man, you talk about, I've preached at a lot of places that have put my guard up. Y'all, have you ever gone to too many meetings? Man, you walk in going, uh-oh, what have I got myself into? I mean, I've been there where a fellow preached for me the other night, and he said, well, we're in the Laodiceans, and it's so dark. I mean, by the time he got done 45 minutes, I was done. I was turning in my Bibles. I know what age I'm in. I know how dark it is. I'm not crazy. But my Bible still says where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And it might get dark, but that makes the light shine even brighter. Amen. Well, people are starving. Good. Then they'll get hungry enough. They might eat something. The promised land, there's battles there. There's sin there. You could leave. You ain't going to leave and get to heaven. You won't want to, but even if you could, you can't. Sorry, God's got to be just, and he has to do what he said he would. The land has been given, but we still have battles. Now, it's time for us to move in the promised land. Let me give you some thoughts and we'll be done. Number one, I want you to see this. It's a call to preparation. Moving day, it's a call to preparation. Don't you hate moving? Oh, hate it with a passion. We moved to North Carolina. I told my wife, burn the boxes. Shoot me if I ever say, I mean, it's horrible. Now, what God does, God can do. Yeah, you know, I've heard people say, if you ever move, you're not right with God. Well, then Paul was wicked. God help, he had to move every other day. Then Abraham was backslid. How would you like to have been him going home? Sweetheart, I just met with God. Oh, Abe, you're always meeting with God. You and God are so close. That is great. Yeah, good news and bad news. Good news, he's still talking. Bad news is we're moving again. You're kidding. How'd you like to have been Sarah? The preacher's wives ought to get more rewards than the preachers. Abraham, we're moving. Which way are we going? That way. How far? I have no idea. We walk till he says stop. Boy, I see Sarah. Look, I just decorated that tent and that Kincaid theme. I'm going to kill you if I decorate another one. You better hope you talk to God, buddy. You're fixing to see him. Amen. but it's a call to preparation. He said in verse 11, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. Now, that's food, or as we would say in America, that's victuals.
Right.
Get you some victuals.
Right.
At this time of Jordan, it would be overflowing. He did not say, build a bridge. He did not say, get a boat. What'd he say? He said, get some bread. He said, I want you to go through the land, and I want you to tell all the children of Israel, let them know, prepare, because we're fixing to go over. And in order for us to go over and fight the battles and to do what God's called us to do, we have to have the proper food in our system. As a call to preparation, it's a call, first of all, to change your diet. Desert diet is not good to live on. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 15, we find that word manna that's mentioned. And the word manna actually means, what is it? They went down and picked it up and said, what is it? Guys, let me encourage you. Don't go home tonight for supper and look at your wife's cooking and say, isn't this great manna? Yeah, you're pretty much saying, what is this? You're cooking like your mama again. What is this? Yeah, manna is not what you want to call your wife's cooking. They had manna, and manna was good. They had never tasted this before. And can I tell you, only the redeemed know what it's like. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Only those that are saved taste that manna and say, oh, that's good.
Man.
Numbers 11:4, he said, you'll go out there and you'll pick it up. And he was giving them commands on how to do this. And the Bible says that when they tasted it, it had that taste of fresh oil. It had that taste of honey. And when they ate that manna, boy, it was a good taste. And man, it was really nice. You get on that Southwest flight and they give you a little bag of peanuts about that big. It literally has like 8 little peanuts in there. Lady yesterday came down and she said, can I get you anything else? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, those two are asleep. I need their 2 bags apiece. I need 4. I said, plus my 2, that gives me 6. I said, if they wake up, I'll give it to them. But until then, give me 6 bags of peanuts. She said, you're serious. I said, as a heart attack? I said, I want my peanuts. I want them now. I said, that's not enough to even whet my appetite, ma'am. She said, okay. She gave me 6 bags of peanuts. I'm like, yeah, fly Southwest. They treat you well. Amen. Exodus 16:31, he tells them about the manna. We need to change our diet. You see, hors d'oeuvres are good to get you going. You go to someone's house and they have an appetizer. I hope that's not the meal.
Amen.
Because I like to eat.
Amen.
I mean, I want to partake, if you will. And hors d'oeuvres are there just to whet your appetite. As a man of God, I can only describe heaven so well. I don't know exactly what it looks like. And preachers, we try to act smarter than we are sometimes because we're put in a very awkward place. Amen. And I don't know. Our songs are messed up, a lot of them. And well, they're not inspired, so be nice to authors. But I mean, I could pick them all apart, you know. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. You don't know if you have a mansion. The Bible says there's mansions there. He said, there are mansions, but then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. You might get to heaven and God says, come here. Right there, that's your place. Don't move. It's going to be like, you're kidding me. Now, if I have a place and he's got a mansion, I'm rolling your mansion. Amen. I don't know. Hey, all the streets are gold. I know there's a street of gold. I don't know if all of them are gold. And I hope it's not a back alley. I mean, I want to be impressed. Amen. It's going to be phenomenal. But all the singing we can do, all the preaching we can do, it's just to whet your appetite a little bit about it. When they got the manna, that was not where you're supposed to stop.
Amen.
You were not supposed to end there. You're not supposed to live there. Manna was good. And to the redeemed, boy, they tasted that fresh oil and they tasted that honey. What it was supposed to do was to help them look up and say, thank you, God. You always take care of us. Thank you, Lord. You always meet our needs. Thank you, God. I hope you're not depending on what we preach to be your walk with God. I hope you spend time with Him yourself today.
Amen.
I hope you walk with Him yourself tonight. I hope that you'll get a little bit of manna yourself. I hope that you'll get some fresh oil, and I hope that your heart will burn. I hope as you read the scriptures, you say, man, no one's ever seen this before. This is good stuff. Oh, yeah, that's manna.
Amen.
You boys ought to be walking around picking up manna going, man, that's good.
Amen.
I don't know why I'm still doing what I'm doing. It's by the grace of God and a mean mom and daddy, because they will still find you. Amen. but somebody taught me how to pick up some manna. But wait a minute. Forgive me, y'all. Don't get mad at me and don't judge me yet. But we make too much of manna. It's not steak. Everybody okay? I mean, we make a whole lot of that manna. But that's not a baked potato. It's not a meal. They ate manna to get them started. But some of us, that's where we stopped. And to the older folks, I want to encourage us a little bit. And to the younger folks, I want to encourage you to hang on. I want you to hear me. Leaving Egypt is good. I'm glad I got saved. Going through the wilderness, key word, through the wilderness is our goal. Enter Canaan, or the fullness of the Christian life. That's what we ought to strive for. Manna will sustain you, but it will not satisfy you. Soldiers need food if they're going to fight. You get ready to play a ball game and you haven't eaten all day long, you're crazy. You're not going to do well. We have a basketball team at our school as well. And I'll tell you that you can be the best player in the world, but when's the last time you ate, boy? Man, I'm tired. I'm weak. Well, you need to get some food. And we're trying to battle this world, and we don't eat.
Right. Amen.
We expect the television preacher to feed us. We expect the radio preacher to feed us. If the evangelist doesn't have the touch tonight, we're in trouble. I hope Brother Jenkins is bringing some good messages on the plane. Man, I've been dying. Y'all pray. I got to have something. Wouldn't it be good if we walked with God a little bit? Wouldn't it be good if we met with the God of the universe? Wouldn't it be good if we let Him feed us a little bit and learn how to eat? Man is good. It'll get you going, but it won't satisfy you. We need to change our diet. Not only that, we need to change our doctrine. We're teaching whether we realize it or not. We left Egypt. We taught them how to leave. But who's teaching how to go?
Yeah.
Right. We left. Here we go. It's how you get saved. And then we leave them. Let's go find another one. And that's good. I'm for that. I want to be a soul winner.
Yeah.
I want to reach people every day of my life. I want to tell somebody about the gospel. And then I want to remind myself there's others that still need it.
Amen.
Okay? I want that zeal. But somebody's got to help them after you leave Egypt. Now what do I do? Does anyone? And that's why there's churches all over this country that are not teaching and preaching the Word of God. And they're being packed with people to entertain. And they got the rock and roll shows going on. And they got how to entertain folks, man. They got the teenagers in there. And boy, they're rocking and rolling. But there's no change in their life. There's no addition in their spiritual life at all. Because, well, at least we're saved. I don't want to push anything on you. And I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to preach that book, man. It's so hard. Can I tell you something we need to understand? We're teaching them whether we realize or not.
Amen.
We've taught them how to leave, but we've not taught them how to go in. We need to change our diet. We need to change our doctrine, and we need to change our direction. We've wandered long enough.
Yep.
And our kids, guess what they're doing, church? They're following. They're following. You four boys right here, follow me. Let's go. Lord's coming. Man, aren't you glad you saved? Are you saved? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Are you saved? Praise God. Are you saved? See, are you saved?
Yes,
yep, here we go. Woo! Saved. And I'm for that. Shouting it out in church. Woo! Saved. I love it when it gets on. I mean, I love it, Liberty, when it breaks wide open, man. You can't, and I don't even know what to do next. And don't get me wrong, let everything be done decently and in order. We have order of service. We plan it out. I've got order of service for the next 3 months.
Amen.
Okay? But I told Brother Tim, you write down at the bottom of all the order of services, if Holy Ghost shows up, forget what's on the paper. Everybody okay?
Amen.
We're going to be organized. God even told Ezekiel, put the bones together, then I'll fill it. You have a form, God will fill it. I'm for that. But when He starts filling it, you better back up. And boy, don't you ever get over the fact you got saved.
Amen.
Man, always be happy. How old were you when you got saved? 13, he's scared to death right now. Hey, let me tell you something. When you're 14, still be happy you're saved. When you're 15, start hanging around the wrong crowd. That's about the age I started hanging around a punk. Can I tell you something? Don't ever forget the fact He saved your soul. And He didn't save you to hang around that jerk. He saved you to follow Him. But always remember that. When you're 16 and finally wake up a little bit, start getting right with God again, just remember, man, I'm glad I'm saved. Where'd you get saved at? Was it a house, church, or what? At your house. Oh, there ought to be times you go back to the exact spot where you got saved. Every time I go to Longview, Texas, there's a boys' bathroom because I don't go to the girls' bathroom, and regardless of Caitlin's gender, and there's a boys' bathroom I go in, and that's the place where I got saved. Every time I go to the bathroom, I get happy. Woo! I think about getting saved. Amen. I just flush the toilet and say, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Amen. Amen. And can I tell you, don't ever forget that. Oh, don't ever get over it. Oh, man, when it comes to salvation, you ought to get so happy about that. I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Shout it out. But wait a minute. We're too busy walking around in circles.
Yeah.
And the average church has a group that got saved later in life.
Yeah.
Please don't take this wrong. I'm glad you got saved. And all it takes is the first stanza of Amazing Grace and tears will start flowing and never lose that. All it takes is one song of How Great Thou Art, and man, I'll tell you, God will do something. All it takes is when you hear the God of the valley or the God of the mountain, still God in the valley, man, it'll get your heart tore up, and it should. But hey, mom and dad, you got saved later in life, I'm happy for you. But why are we wandering around the wilderness? And I'll tell you why I think we've got some kids, because what did they say? They said, wasn't there cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions? Didn't they feed us well back in Egypt? Everybody okay?
Yeah.
See, they're wandering around this wilderness looking at all these tumbleweeds going, you're kidding me. I'm glad mom and daddy are happy. I'm glad y'all shouted out. This is it. So the promised land you kept telling me about, this is how far we got. This is your promised land? Well, isn't it good to be saved? After a while, don't get mad. But after a while, one of them's going to go, I guess. Pshoo. Well, don't you know what we got saved from? No, I've been in church my whole life.
Right.
I was a sinner going to hell just like the guy on death row. But I was 10, okay? My dad's been preaching since I was 4. I mean, I gave up my Flintstone tablets. Okay. I drank one Dr. Pepper and I threw it at the altar and said, never again. Whoa, I'm going to Mountain Dew. When I turned 40, it turned to Diet Mountain Dew. Amen. Okay, and don't misunderstand. I've had more sin than I've had righteousness. I'm not trying to paint a good picture. What I'm saying is we have a group that we need to start changing our direction.
Amen.
Thank you guys. Have a seat. We're walking around in circles. And
amen.
The Bible says that he told the men there were 3 feasts that they were to keep, but they were not to keep them until they got in the promised land.
Right.
Because you remember they took those stones and they took them out of Jordan. And what were they supposed to do? Set up an altar in the wilderness and say, look how good God is.
Nope.
What do you mean how good God is? This is horrible. We're walking in circles. Dad's lost his mind. Moses doesn't know where we're going. Haven't we passed this way before? Boy, that looks like the same convenience store. Man, that looks like same Dunkin' Donuts. We've been by here before, Moses. They're walking around and around and around. And can I tell you, too many of our kids are being dumped in the desert. Oh, you've left Egypt. And I don't ever want you to forget that. But our kids need Canaan. They don't need the wilderness. Wilderness is for babes in Christ. We have to walk through it, yes. But we better get us into Canaan.
Amen.
Somebody better see the sign that says, thanks for visiting Egypt, going, ain't no thanks there, buddy. I'm out of Egypt. I'm glad I'm saved and I don't want to go back.
Amen.
And young people, there is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. You mark this down. That whistle will blow, that horn will sound, it'll be over, and you'll wish to God you never dabbled in that sin.
Amen.
So you might as well get out of Egypt and listen to those that have gotten into the sin. They're not going to glorify sin. They'll exalt the Savior. But you mark her down. You don't even need to go that way. You don't even need to try that path because it's not worth it.
Amen.
But as we're in the wilderness, mom and daddy, let's kick it in high gear.
Amen.
We ought to be flying through the wilderness.
Hey.
Why are we here? We're trying to get there.
Right.
Why? That's the promised land, boys.
Right.
That's the fullness of the Christian life. That's where you're walking with God on your own. We did family devotions, and when our kids were little, we don't do it now, but when they were little, we'd get together, and we'd read the Bible, and we'd teach them, we'd pray. The whole idea was for them to get in the Bible themselves.
Hey.
My oldest just turned 21 last Friday, and I got a 17, a 15-year-old. And we still get together, and we still pray. We were on vacation last week, and we sat down one of the nights. I said, man, just let's talk about how good God is. Y'all got anything you want to talk about? And man, it takes a little while. They do what most teenagers do. Huh? God. Good. Christian. God. Then I have flashbacks. It's almost like God sitting behind them just laughing, going, reaping what you soweth. Amen. Thou idiot. Amen. But we just sat around and talked about how good God was. We sat around and talked about what God's done in our lives. We sat around and talked about how we're going to see a little sister one day in heaven. We sat around and talked about how great it was that God gave you a Paul that preached the book. Isn't it neat? God's giving you an uncle that can out-preach. I mean, he can tear it up, man. Isn't it neat? You got a family that loves God. Isn't it neat, boys? You got a mama that loves you. Isn't it neat, boys? We got a Bible we can read every day. Isn't it great? Man, we're having a little bit of church going on at the vacation. And I'm telling you, I've not done a good job. I'm not a good parent. Don't ask me how to parent. I'm in the middle of the storm with all the rest of you parents, all right? But I'm trying to get out of the wilderness, and I'm trying to get them into Canaan because I've watched too many kids get dumped in the desert, and they're sitting around saying, isn't this good? No, it's not good. Canaan's good. Get in there.
Amen.
We make too much of it. We need to change our direction. It takes some preparation. Man, I got to hurry. Number two, it's a call to anticipation. Look what he said there in verse number 11. He said, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. It's a call to not only preparation, but it's a call to anticipation. He said, hey, 3 days, we're going. It's kind of like before I came here, I tried, and I know this church, we've been friends for a long time. So, but a lot of times I go somewhere new, I'll try to find them on the internet, you know, on the website, and try to find out about the church. And I like to hear maybe if they have songs, and so I know what I'm getting into. Amen. Brother Bobby told me one time, I don't know if he does all the time, but Brother Bobby Robertson said that most time he go preach somewhere, he said, Brother Scott, I'll just sit out in the car at about 7:30. Because they'll get done with all that mess they're going to do in there, and then I can go in and preach. So it doesn't mess up my spirit. Amen. And I mean, you always got to check everything out. And I told Dr. Bell, I was listening to some messages online that he had preached, and I thought, Lord have mercy. He talked about preaching long. I mean, the one I listened to was an hour, 15 minutes, and 56 seconds. And I thought, well, that's the whole service. Nuh-uh. That was when he stood up to preach. Amen. It was a good one. I've got 4 messages out of it, and I'll be preaching them. I'm just going to retitle them. And I was on my knees when I listened to it, so I tell the people, I got this on my knees. Amen. But it's a call to anticipation. I was excited about coming to be with friends. I was excited to come to be at a place where you would feel at liberty to preach and get strengthened yourself and get encouraged yourself and get pumped up to go back and do something big for the Lord. And I love that anticipation. And Joshua said, hey, go tell them. 3 days, we're going. 3 days, we're going. 3 days, we're going. 3 days, we're going. Man, he was getting them so excited. Mom and Dad, can I tell you why kids don't enjoy church? Because you don't enjoy church. Can I tell you why they're not excited? Because you're not excited.
Amen.
It's Wednesday night. What time does church start?
Thursday at 7:30.
If you come Wednesday, you're going to be early.
Yeah.
Thursday at 7:30 is church. And it's about 6:45. And 6:45, I believe about 7:15. Oh. What's wrong, Mama? Oh, I'm sorry, baby. I got another one of those, you know. Migraine's hitting me again. Where's the chair, baby? Help me. Wednesday, 6:50. Okay, y'all getting ready for church. I wish I could join you. Oh, boy, I wish I could be there. Tell the Brother Bell we love him. Everything. Get Mama sweet tea before you go. Oh, we loved him. I wish I could be there. Oh, God knows in my heart I'm there. Please tell him. I'm so there. I'm in it like Bennett. Here we go. Give me the remote before you go if you don't mind. Oh, I'm hurting so bad. God bless you. And then all of a sudden, we say we don't believe in healing. Baptists have more healing than any Pentecostal ever dreamed of. Because every Monday morning, boy, we're walking the mall. Ma'am, I thought you were in ICU. God healed me. Isn't that good? But you say soul winning on Monday night at 6:30, and man, it looks like the rapture took place. Everybody okay? And you wonder why your kids aren't happy.
Amen.
Oh, we can dress them up when they're little bitty things and we can make them smile because they're little. I can duct tape a smile on you. Y'all forgive me. I can't raise teenagers, but anything 0 to 12 I can raise. You tell 0 to 12. I know how to rear children 0 to 12. I know how to make that boy be happy, and he will love what he's doing. You better know that's right, Hoss. If you can, hey, send him my house. No, don't do that. 0 to 12 I can handle. Past that, I have no idea. But we're so busy in the wilderness, griping, complaining, that we'll make up stories.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, what were you in Egypt? You were a slave.
Right.
And you really think they gave slaves cucumbers and melons and garlics? And really, you think they helped slaves eat like kings? Do you remember what he did when Pharaoh got hint you were trying to leave? He took half of your equipment away and said, figure it out, and I want double the production.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So you think they're going to bring breakfast in bed?
Right.
The past and future will always lie to you.
Amen.
Kids get married, and then the young bride, I want to go home. It was so good at home. It was perfect. All she can remember is that bedroom with the 1,000 teddy bears on the bed, and everything was so wonderful. She forgot that was the same room Dad tried to kill her in. Amen. She was grounded there for 14 years of her life, but it was perfect. And then you have kids. I got to get married. 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 Why? It's just going to be great. We're going to have that house, that white picket fence. Our 2.5 children, at 0.5, bless his heart, and at 2.5 kids, my husband's going to drive up at 401 every day. I'm going to have a fresh tray of cookies as I skip out the door. He's going to come in. We're going to have a little puppy dog, never poops. It's going to be great, and here it is. No, reality is the power bill ain't going to be paid. That white picket fence is yelling. It fell over. Them cookies you bought at the Sam's Club, and you threw them on the ground and said, hey, Pinhead, if you don't pay the power bill, I'm going to wring your neck. Yeah, that's reality. Everybody okay? We better get through the wilderness. You better quit putting up tents and camping out. We ain't supposed to live here. We're supposed to get there. We look at a new convert that he said that got saved, baptized, jumping in. I wonder if he'll stay. It sounds to me like he's got it in high gear. He's trying to get to Canaan. Some of us ought to follow. Anticipation. But then finally, it's a call to separation. In verse number 12, it said, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying. Now, we won't read the rest of the chapter, but let me tell you what happens. These are the tribes, Reuben, Gadites, half-tribe Manasseh. These 2.5 tribes, if you'll recall, when they left, they told Moses, we don't want to go that side of Jordan. You remember the story, because there's a famous verse that people use, will your brother go to war and will you also sit here? So Moses made a deal. He said, guys, here's exactly what will happen. Whether you like this or not, here's the deal. You're going to go fight because we're family. Family may fight with each other, but you always fight for each other. And we're going to go across there, and you're coming with us, and you're going to stink and fight like the rest of us fight. Now, if you want to go back and live there, that's your business. You can go back and live. Joshua is now in charge, and Joshua comes to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe Manasseh, and he said, guys, I want to remind you, remember what Moses told you to do. You will go with us and fight, and you can do what you want to afterwards, but you will help us. And they agreed and said, we'll keep our word. But can I tell you something, church? They did not want to move in. A separation, you choose your land.
Man.
Separation, you'll choose your level. Oh, they went. And they fought with them, but they didn't want to live with them.
Yeah.
I've often wondered, they sang in the choir, they ran the bus route, and they did it all. I don't want to live with you. That's good for Sunday, but I won't live it on Monday. Well, I want to come to church, and that's why, and I don't spend my whole life just busting on other churches, but that's why they love that, because they're not going to feel convicted. They're going to go in and, I felt something on that. And I love to have songs that get my spirit. Don't misunderstand. I've had people preach against feeling. Well, that's because they're dead and dry and they're, amen. There's nothing wrong with feeling something as long as it's God. But they love to go there because there's not going to be any preaching. There's not going to be any conviction. You're going to be okay. You're going to come as you are, leave as you were, no problems, just tithe. I'll see you next week. There's not, you won't feel bad 1 second in this church. You're going to be okay in Mayberry today. The separation, though, that'll choose your level, but then also it'll choose your love. Guess who the first 2.5 tribes to fall to Assyria. Reubenites, Gadites, half tribe Manasseh. Because they were not willing to separate and go all the way in. The first ones to fall were those over there. Now, I can't make, I'll say this, contradict myself here in a second. I can't make my children, I can't make my church go into Canaan. They're going to choose what they want to choose. Okay? People say, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Shove his face in that trough, he'll suck up some water somewhere. Everybody all right? You hold it down there long, the bubbles will start going. Yeah, they'll drink something. And parents, you slay me. I don't want to make my little Oswald do anything they don't want to do. Would you? Oh, God, help. That makes you want to say Washington Redskins or something. Because it might offend somebody. No, you make them. If they want to go to school naked, don't force them to get dressed. Because that's what they want to do. I can't force you to get dressed. No, you make them to do things they don't want to do. If you got any sense, you will. Okay. I can tell you this. We're moving into Canaan together. I can tell you this. I've heard my daddy say this my whole life. Y'all kids do what you want to, but your mom and I are going to do right. Y'all kids do what you want to. Your mom and I are moving in here. Yep. If you want to live here, you're going to have a good time. You want to go out there, go to the wilderness. That's your choice. But I'll tell you where we're going to be. When you're done playing around the wilderness, come on back in.
Amen.
I still have a key to 2309 Kentucky Drive, Longview, Texas, 75605. I can go there anytime. Mom and Dad live there, but I got a key because Dad doesn't know it. Mom likes me. I'm the youngest and I'm the favorite. Amen. She don't like the other three, but she loves me. When you're ready, let's get in.
Yeah, amen.
It's moving day.
Right.
Let's quit walking around the wilderness. What? Hey, Anchor, we don't have much time.
That's right.
Hey, Bible Baptist, we don't have much time.
Right.
Brother Manny, we our time, it's running short.
Nope.
We better get everybody out of Egypt we can.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, get them out of Egypt. But then while you're doing that, organize, say, hey, take them to Canaan.
Yeah, amen.
What's Canaan? You're going to love it. There's giants there. Yeah, but there's a God there too. He's bigger than them. Come on. We're grasshoppers. Yeah, imagine what they look to him. Come on, man. Let's go. Wouldn't it be great if we moved into Canaan? Wouldn't it be neat if our kids enjoyed church? Wouldn't it be neat, Dad, if you even liked it a little bit? Wouldn't it be neat, Mom, if your hand went up in a service, if we heard you say amen, if we heard you have a good time in God's house? Wouldn't it be great if we had some of God's people that love the things of God? Wouldn't it be great if we were a good billboard for the things of God? Wouldn't it be great if we had some believers that were happy?
Yeah.
I'm going to heaven. Kind of makes me happy. Tell you the story and I'm done. I was on a flight a few weeks ago and I was going to go. Well, Jenny was preaching, I guess. I was just riding along with her. But we're on the flight and I'm listening to a preaching message and I got to giggling. And, it's kind of like when men are on the cell phone. I don't know if it's just men thing. My dad does it. He talks way too loud. Yeah. And it's like, Dad, shh. Everybody's listening. And, you know, when you have earbuds in, you don't realize. You ever get to singing? And the sun's coming up. And Jay's like, stop that. What? Everybody's listening. Well, the sun is coming up in the morning. May not be on that key, but it's coming up. And man, I got to listen to the message. I was like, and I don't know, all of a sudden, hey, man. And she's like, And the guy by the window looked over. I said, what? She said, Scott, they can hear you. I said, oh, my bad. I said, y'all want to listen? And the guy sitting by the window looked at me and said, what are you listening to? I said, it's phenomenal. I said, here, I'll unplug it for you. So I unplugged it and he's preaching, you know, and he's like, what is that? I said, that's a crazy man right there. Man, Brother Tony, it was Brother Tony, he's getting after it. And he said, what's he mad about? I said, everything. And I said, no, he don't want people to go to hell. I said, he wants them to go to heaven. He said, what's that? Man, we got a chance to give him the gospel.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great? Where are you going? Canaan. What's it like? Come check it out.
Yeah. Amen.
First, you got to get out of Egypt.
Yes, sir.
Then you got to quit walking around the wilderness. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we find out where we are in our spiritual life. May we not stay where we should not stay. God, would you help us to make the right decisions, the right steps, and the right way. Lord, I don't want to be like the 2.5 tribes that said, we're going to stay on this side. God, give me the courage and the strength and the grace. You've already paid for it. You said it's our land. We can possess it. You gave it to us. It's free. Lord, help us to step into that victorious Christian life. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, can I ask you this morning, are you saved? Are you a believer? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Number two, if you do, can we get into Canaan? Oh, can we try to take this next generation and say God's good? Now, you say, but preacher, what if they don't want to go? That's their choice. But I don't want them to be able to point a finger at me and say, you didn't tell me. I didn't know what Canaan was like. Oh, no, church, let's tell them. Every bus kid that rides in here, let's show them how great Canaan is. Oh, they're living in Egypt. Oh, they're living in the worst part of the wilderness. Well, let's take them in and say, Canaan's so good, and it's free. As we all stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed, as the musicians play, Pastor Bill.